It's showtime.
Cussing and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we go, off and running for this fourth day of February 2020. This is The Horn. HeadOn.live is where you'll find us on the interweb tubes. And that is, of course, where you go if you'd like to be part of the merry, wacky, zany, real-time multimedia extravaganza that is the Horn chat room during the 3 hours in which this program is live from 5 to 8 Eastern Time, 2 to 5 Pacific Time. I've got that right. Yeah, I think I do. Still getting used to it. I like it better. I've come to the conclusion that I like the 5 to 8 slot better than 6 to 9 by a large measure. And as Brother Deacon Asa points out, it does appear that that it has helped in terms of audience participation and general increase in the community for the live broadcast. Yep. Probably doesn't have any impact on the podcast, and why should it? But that's where it is, and that's where we are. Anyway, also at HeadOn.live, you'll find your one-stop shop for all your podcasting needs, speaking of podcasting. And, of course, we also have the Contribute tab. And it's the Contribute tab that keeps the program on the air. Every program here at The Horn begins with gratitude. This program is no different. And so, consequently, thanks go out. Thanks go out this evening to Paul and to Thomas and to Catherine. And thank you very kindly for being partial sponsors of the programming. It is much, much obliged indeed. We've got because we managed to get $5 over the goal last night, we've got a fundraising goal of $195 this evening. $195. Thank you to Les and Anatole for both jumping in with that last $5 last night at roughly the same time. Thank you very kindly. So hopefully there are 19 and a half people out there with $10 or 10 people with $19.50 or some combination thereof. And we will stay on track for the first two broadcasts of the month of February. And welcome back, Bill, in the chat room. Not Dr. Bill. This is Bill in PA. Bill's been dealing with some medical miseries. Glad to have you back in the room, Bill. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Also, if you decided to wander into the chat room, you'd be greeted by Anatole along with Bill and Squeaky and Terry and Saigon. All just itching for some fine conversation this Tuesday evening, which, as it turns out here in almost level West by Cole Trump Virginia stand, home of Joe Manchin, who doesn't understand that censure isn't in the Constitution of the United States. We've had a little bit of sunshine on Sunday and a little bit of sunshine on Monday. It's gone again. We're not going to see it for a while, so we're never mind what the damn groundhog said. It's going to be grim and maybe not as shitty as your average February, but shitty just the same. Here and it's raining right now, and it's going to rain all night, and it's going to rain tomorrow, and it's going to rain Thursday. And then on Friday and Saturday, it turns into snow. The kind of nasty shit that usually sticks. So after that, we get one day of maybe some sunshine, at least according to the extended forecast. And then, hey, look, more rain, and more rain, and more rain. And that's not to say rain is a bad thing. Rain is a good and necessary thing. The problem is this time of year, it can lead, especially in a tormented landscape like West Virginia, can lead to some pretty ugly flooding. I hope it doesn't. I sincerely hope it doesn't. By the way, the new power supply for the old streaming computer arrived today, so I've got some. I've got something to do after the program ends. Namely, install that in the old streaming computer. Maybe that'll provide a proper diversion to you know, what happens at 9 o'clock. That, of course, would be the State of the Union. And, of course, there will be a massive amount of lying going on this evening in the House of Representatives chambers in Washington, D.C. Yes, I did. I'm sorry. I left out Sparky because I didn't mean to. I was just talking about the folks who were in the room. You will, of course, if I'm inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator Sparky, who, being a third stage guild navigator, has on this Northern California afternoon folded space to become man cave. Must be a little nicer there than it is here. So, wander on by. Indeed, it will be a fine time. But like I said, there will be massive amounts of lying going on shortly after 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Mr. Speaker! The third person to ever be impeached as President of the United States. Steve Cohen of Tennessee, Al Green of Texas, and AOC of NYC have all declared that they have that they're not going to attend. It would be nice if somebody would sit there and sort of fact check him in real time and yell liar every time he does. But then again, he wouldn't get a word in edgewise because every word that comes out of his mouth is going to be a lie. It is so bad, in fact, that a bookmaking outfit offshore, they're in Antigua. They are called bookmaker.eu. They're offering a bet this evening. Their bet is that Donald Trump can't go, their wager, the offered wager, is that Donald Trump can't go 45 seconds without making a demonstrably false statement. They will use the Washington Post's fact checker to verify the falsehoods. And let's see, what's the payday? You can win a dollar for every dollar and 10 cents you wager. The over under is 6.5, and the payout is -110. Yeah, so you have to wager a buck to win a dollar 10. Or you have to wager $1.10 to win a buck. Maybe I'm not so good at this gambling thing. According to Bookmaker EU, speaking to the New York Daily News, last year President Trump stuck to the script, and yet he still blew past our total of 3.5 false statements. That was Angus Douglas of Bookmaker.eu. He said this year the Republicans are pleading with him to stick to the script, but the wild card with President Trump has always been his lack of self-control. With the pending acquittal, he may be prone to overconfidence and swagger, and we think the odds of him getting through the State of the Union without a false or misleading statement are conservatively set at 100 to 1. Pretty long odds. Mr. Douglas says that he's lacks self-control. Well, that's already been demonstrated by his conduct on Sunday, you know, right before the Super Bowl. I'm sure you've all seen the video by now of him at the Mara Sleazo Super Bowl party. It probably cost a small fortune to attend that thing, and sit there eating food that was prepared in a filthy kitchen with no small amount of vermin, and I don't know, maybe even sleep on bed bug infested mattresses. Jesus, why anybody would stay in a Trump property? But that, so, you know, according to the video, and I've seen multiple angles, remember he called for Colin Kaepernick, he called Colin Kaepernick a son of a bitch and demanded that he be fired. And of course, Colin Kaepernick has been blacklisted from the NFL ever since because Colin Kaepernick knelt for the national anthem. On the other hand, I guess if you're president, you don't have to stop and put your hand over your heart or anything. You can make hand gestures at your friends and look here and look there, and then pretend to conduct the orchestra leading the national anthem. Yeah, what a sick bastard he is. And in terms of getting rid of the sick bastard, last night was not an inspiring start to that process. I went to some lengths in the program yesterday to lay out just what a grift, what a fraud the Iowa carcasses are. And they did not disappoint. At this point in time, the DNC was supposed to finally announce who actually won by about 5 o'clock, and true to their word, they did. Or who they think is winning. Remember, Iowa has some 3,975 delegates at their state convention that are in play. Last night had to do with less than 50 of them. As of right now, word from the Washington Post is that the Democratic Iowa Democratic Party, not the DNC, goddamn DNC, Debbie Wasserman Schultz, Tom Perez, fuck. As of 5:12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, we don't have results. We didn't have them last night. That didn't stop everybody from running out and declaring victory. But the report from the Washington Post declares the Iowa Democratic Party says it will release some results of Monday night's caucuses Tuesday afternoon, blaming inconsistencies in reporting for the delay. Many of the candidates have already moved on to New Hampshire, which hold its primary in a week. Yeah, it's got to be real weird to be in Iowa the day after the caucuses. It's like, hey, I thought you liked us. Bye. With any luck at all, it was such a fucked up affair, however, that we will never have to deal with it again. What a monument to human error that was. Of those carcassing last night, as best as can be told, Bernie came in at the top, followed very closely by about 1.2 percentage points by Pete Buttigieg, and Elizabeth Warren was about, she was less than 6 percentage points behind Sanders. And then way down there at 13.2% was Grandpa Joe, with Amy Klobuchar, who declared victory as well, coming in fifth at 12.4%. If indeed that is the way that it plays out, it may not be. There's always that possibility. Well, it looks like we're having technical fun with the program early this evening. Brother Deacon Asa telling me that the program briefly disappeared. Well, that's just because that's what you get with Frontier. Bankrupt Frontier. It was interesting. I was across the river yesterday, and I ran into a guy with a Suddenlink. That's one of the cable companies around here, with a Suddenlink shirt and cap on. And I'd heard him tell someone else that that another outfit that we used to deal with called Chantel, which was over on this side of the river, has moved across to the other side of the river. I guess that's great news for Fayetteville. No, not really. Chantel is horrible. But Suddenlink isn't much better. And I just engaged the guy in conversation. And he said, I said, but Suddenlink doesn't come to my side of the river. He said, no, we don't cross the river. I said, more's the pity. He said, well, not anymore. We ain't much better than Chantel no more. Hell, it used to be we had 67 guys in the shop. We got 23 now. Bunch of Iraqis bought us. Hell, and this was the line that got me. Hell, we had to unionize just to keep our jobs. Yeah, what a pity y'all didn't unionize back when you had 67 workers instead. But now Chantel in West Virginia is a proud member of the Communication Workers of America, and that did my heart good to hear. So on the way out the door, I said, hey, congratulations on your new union. Welcome to the struggle. Even though I'm not a member of a union. Would be if could be, but I'm not. So a bunch of Iraqis bought, and I wonder if they're really Iraqis buying ISPs. Curiouser and curiouser, said Alice. Yeah, that's true. That'd be a fun bet. Randy in PA says, what are the odds this evening of them getting the Adderall dosage correct? Well, it's not just the Adderall dosage. It's the Adderall dosage, and it's probably the Aricept dosage. And, you know, it's a matter of getting everything in perfect balance so that he doesn't seem like a speed freak character from a Hunter S. Thompson book. But at the same time, he can't be completely anesthetized to the point that he's just sitting there drooling all over the podium. With Nitwit Nero, this is rather a massive challenge for medical science. Jimmy in the Great Northwest says, the Dems should hold a thick blue line on Cheeto's entry and his exit and stand and turn their backs to him. Some kind of demonstration would be nice. Kyle, meanwhile, says, deport the son of a bitch. Send him back where he came from. Burn him at the stake. Lock him away in Guantanamo. Republicans, see how crazy this sounds when I say it about the president? That's how it sounds when you said it about a black citizen, too. Yeah. Yeah, Kyle, with regard to Suddenlink and the communications workers. Goddamn Muslims making more people have more rights in the workplace. This must have been one of them Obama shadow government deep state operations. Oh, the horror. I think Kyle is ready to raise a ruckus this evening. Lucky for us, we will not be on the air when the State of the Union begins. I'm thinking maybe, I don't know. Maybe I might go and sniff some airplane glue or, I don't know, scrape out a banana, the inside of a banana peel and just get a little crazy. No, of course not. But I don't, hell, I know I got to watch the damn thing. You don't have to tell me. It's my job. I take one for the team, and this is the team I take one for. Yeesh. Steve in New York says, I'd like to see this. All Democrats wear pins that say, once impeached, always impeached. OIAI. I'm having a hard time pronouncing that, but that'd be fun. But just a you lie from time to time would be perfectly nice. Now the New York Times says partial results for the Iowa caucuses show Pete Buttigieg and Bernie Sanders ahead and Joe Biden falling well behind the other top-tier candidates, with 63% of precincts reporting. Pete Buttigieg has 26.9% of the state delegates. Bernie has 25.1%. And Elizabeth Warren is in third place with 18.3%. Grandpa Joe is way the hell back at 15.6%. But hey, Andrew Yang got all of 1.1%. Yeah, that Andrew Yang, old term limits Andrew Yang. And if you thought Andrew Yang had some pretty bad ideas with the term limits, well, my gracious sakes alive, it got worse. Because in the last few days, he said if he was president, he would think seriously about, and you might want to get the bucket, not the hockey puck for this. He would think seriously about pardoning Donald Trump. We'll take a moment here to allow time for a brief, low-rent conniption. It was this past Sunday when Andrew Yang went on ABC's This Week, and he was asked about, you know, the general criminality of this illegitimate occupant of 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. And he said the first thing he would do is ask his attorney general. Okay, that's a good answer. Stop there, Andy. Yeah, no. They said, well, okay, because the inquisitor then said, well, okay, and what, you know, what? And that's when Andrew Yang said, if you look at history around the world, it's a very, very nasty pattern that developing countries have fallen into where a new president ends up throwing the president before them in jail. Andy, buddy, I know it might look like it after way too many years of Republican rule since, say, the 70s, you know, before you were born. But, well, the United States is not a developing country. This is supposed to be a fairly well-organized and stable and grounded republic based on ostensibly democratic principles, Andy. Mm-hmm. And it was only with the arrival of Donald Trump that anybody started babbling about putting political rivals in prison. Trump did that. Trump is a serial lawbreaker, Andy. And he went on, Andy Yang did, and said, that pattern, unfortunately, makes it very hard for any party to govern sustainably moving forward with a sense of unity among their people. And so, to me, America should try to avoid that pattern if at all possible. Ha! We haven't gotten to the point yet where it's pattern. But I'll tell you this much. I know if by some goddamn miracle we wind up with a Democrat in the White House as of January the 20th, 2021... a reminder, less than a year away. The last thing I want to hear is that person say, oh, we need to look forward and not back. We tried that shit, and that's part of how we got to where we are now. Another reason we got to where we are now is because Gerald Ford pardoned Richard Nixon instead of making a tricky dick stand to for the crimes that he had committed against the nation. That made the possibility of other criminal presidents more likely. And after Nixon was gone, it wasn't very long at all before we had another criminal in the White House in the form of old 666 himself, Ronald Wilson Reagan. And then we got Ronald Wilson Reagan's vice president for 4 years. You know, George H.W. October Surprise Bush. And then his crooked son. And then this guy. Whew. Randy in PA offers the following. Sentence first, verdict afterwards, said the king. Stuff and nonsense. Having the sentence first, said Alice. Albert in Rhode Island says the Democrats need to blow whistles whenever he tells a lie. That would be nice. That would be nice. Or maybe how about a quacking duck? Quack! That could be fun. I'm apparently making it very difficult for Kyle this evening. I'm sorry, Kyle. In regard to Andy Yang thinking all pardonishly about Nitwit Nero, Kyle says, "Oh my God, pardon him! Oh Jesus Christ and all the other deities! He can't possibly be serious. Even Joe, I can make the Republicans all work with me with my voodoo magic. Biden didn't go that far." Ah! Okay, wait a minute, Kyle. You get the first cowbell of the evening for Joe, I can make the Republicans all work with me with my voodoo magic Biden. That's an earner. Yep. I don't know when Andrew Yang's going to drop out, but the sooner the better. Because he's liable to channel his much more of this, and he'll channel his inner booty judge and start talking about how we need more Justice Anthony Kennedys on the Supreme Court. You know, just like maybe he already would have if Pete Buttigieg hadn't beaten him to the point. I was thinking about it earlier. We're talking about November already. And I would sincerely like a chance to enjoy this coming summer. I really, really would. I'd like to. I'm looking forward to warm weather. Well, and you know, barbecuing and making pulled pork and brisket and smoking chicken and like Todd was talking about last night. Maybe making some white barbecue sauce and working up my very own version of tonkatsu ramen broth. Please let's not just cancel summer in the desperate effort to get to whatever fucked up and this is going to transpire in November. Because, well, what a hot mess Iowa was. Yeesh. With any luck at all, Amy Klobuchar will be dropping out now. I mean, she's from a state that borders Iowa and couldn't scrounge up 15% of the vote, even though she gave a victory speech last night, too. The sooner we get this down to what it is, a battle between the progressive wing of the party and Joe Biden between, you know, and I have to acknowledge the reality that at some point it's probably not going to be Elizabeth Warren. I haven't backed any candidate because again, my vote doesn't matter. I don't vote in a primary until May. But, well, let's just do this. Let's let it be what it's going to be, namely a struggle between Bernie and Joe, a struggle between two men seeking to become the first 80-year old president of the United States. Jeff says, Yang, drop out. Come on, Bob, we need party unity, unless, of course, Bernie is winning. LOL. No, I've wanted Yang to drop out since Yang got in. There's no there there. I mean, this is a guy who has a law degree that says goofy shit like America is a developing country. Well, I mean, I guess in one sense of the word, I mean, we started developing in 1787 and we continue to develop. When we ratified the Constitution in 1787, it was a blueprint for a government that would be of the white propertied males, by the white propertied males, and for the white propertied males. And we have slowly, glacially managed to include a few more people within the ambit of the Constitution's tender mercies. So that's developing. But wow. No, I didn't think there was a lot of benefit in having 20 presidential candidates to begin with. And I'm not endorsing Bernie. I'm not endorsing Joe. I'm going to let this fucked up primary process continue in its teetering, wobbling, wheels about to fall off way, and let the rest of the country make my choices for me, because that, by God, is Merca and our democracy. Of course, we could have a one-day national primary, like, say, in June, and then have the nominating conventions in July and August and the general election in November. And, well, it might almost make sense in the 21st century. But as noted last night, it would be butt awful for the welfare recipients at Disney and Viacom and the Universal and all the massive corporations that suck up all that yummy, delicious, tasty cash that comes out $2 and $3 and $5 at a time from hardworking people's pockets to propel these campaigns and make it possible for them to make. You know what? I'm going to say this. There's a lot about Michael Bloomberg that gives me the creeps. The fact that he would, as I've noted before, the fact that he would lie to America and tell them that he took on big coal and won. That's out of the gate dishonest and troublesome to me. But unless I'm missing my mark, he's spending his own damn money. And with the chaos in Iowa today, ordered his team, his surrogates, his minions, to buy up a shitload more airtime in places like California. So, hey, California horn contingent, enjoy all those Michael Bloomberg ads. Man, and see, that's the problem with political ads. You get so sick of seeing the candidates. But I also give Michael Bloomberg credit, where credit is due. And he thus far is doing a better job of trolling Donald Trump than anybody else. I saw a thing where some member of the multimillionaire for-profit media asked him, do you think it's a good thing for America to see two billionaires sniping at each other? And Bloomberg was ready. He answered, two? Two billionaires? Who's the other one? And I have to confess, it gave me one of those big, broad Warner Brothers cartoon smiles. And it's apparently driving nitwit Nero past distraction, because distraction is where he lives. And so he's talking about Bloomberg's height. While Bloomberg says, hey, or his surrogates say, you know, Trump lies about his wealth. He lies about his weight. He's got a spray-on tan and he lies. And it's bugging the shit out of Donald Trump, and he is scared to damn death of Bloomberg's money. So here's a fun question. And I'm not being an asshole by excluding Bernie from this calculus. But this is just a fun question. If it came down to Michael Bloomberg or Joe Biden, which way would your preference fall? Yeah, not so easy, is it? Yeah, okay. Jeff says, I was joking, Bob. That was meant to be sarcasm at the establishment folks who scream for unity while they attack Sanders. I'll back whoever wins. And that's where I am, too. And I just want to be clear, because I feel a certain obligation to speak what I understand to be the truth where these things are concerned. If you got to the point where the mere mention of the word Benghazi and that massive Republican fraud that eventually Kevin McCarthy did admit was pursued only to harm Hillary Clinton's presidential chances, if you got to where the mere mention of the word Benghazi, Pavlov-like, made you throw up in a bucket a little bit, and butt her emails being shrieked and howled and screamed from anyone from Modo the Dragon Lady, Maureen Dowd, or Mrs. Greenspan over at NBC, or George Snuffleupagus at ABC, on and on and on and on. If you really got sick to fucking death of that shit, well, you're going to love hearing Hunter Biden, Hunter Biden, Hunter Biden, Hunter Biden. It's already messed with me enough that I hear Hunter Biden and I immediately think of the replicant in the first, you know, the original Blade Runner. And your address, 1187 Hunter Vosser. Part of my brain can no longer tell the difference between Hunter Biden and Hunter Vosser. But that's me. And that's just, you know, that's my little cross to bear. Boy, howdy, I tell you what, as long as Joe Biden remains in the race, and this is not to say he would make a good or a bad president. He would make a fantastic president, a splendid president, compared to Chlamydia Claudius. Or as one friend of mine refers to him now, Humpty Trumpty. You know, the eggshell thin ego, the wall. Yeah. He would be a magnificent president compared to. But Hunter Biden is so obviously and transparently 2020s but her emails and a precious lenses, a sworn oath. To investigate the living fuck out of Hunter Biden is so obviously James Comey investigating but her emails that it seems obvious that the Republicans are running from a previously successful template. And the only way that we don't have Hunter Biden, Hunter Biden, Hunter Biden is if Joe Biden isn't the nominee. Now, lest anyone think that I'm just on fire for any for ABJ, anybody but Joe, let me be clear. There is filth and sleaze out there planned for anyone who would be the Democratic nominee. You will see screen caps, stills. If Bernie Sanders is the nominee, you will see screen caps of him sitting in his tidy whiteies in Russia in, 1988? Doing shots of vodka with communists. Or things relating to Nicaragua or Cuba. And by the time the Republicans are done, Bernie Sanders will be, I don't know, he'll be the godfather of Che Guevara, for fuck's sake. That's what they got planned for Bernie. And it will stick. Just like Hunter Biden will stick. With a certain portion of the idiots who, walking on their mouths and breathing through their knuckles, will find their ways to the polls in November. They got a couple of different lines of attack waiting for Elizabeth Warren. And then, of course, they've got something waiting for Pete Buttigieg, too. And I'm imagining you can probably guess what that something is. We got a bit of a preview of it last night in Iowa as a Democratic Party caucus goer went and decided she was going to carcass for Pete. Get the hockey puck.
So are you saying that he has a same-sex partner?
He?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Are you kidding?
Yeah, he's married to him, yeah.
Well, then I don't want anybody like that in the White House. So can I have my card back?
And he's still there.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Find it.
We could go ask.
I never knew that.
I never knowed that he had a same-sex husband, man. You heard her. I don't want anything like that in the White House. Like what, ma'am? By the time the Republicans are through with Pete Buttigieg, they will have him dance. They will have him dancing Swan Lake across the main boulevard of South Bend in a tutu and a tiara. I mean, Jesus, let's time travel, shall we? How about 2008? You remember Reverend Wright?
Well, why does that Kenyan Muslim you slurper insist on going to church where a man, black man, a preacher there, says things like goddamn America? Does Barack Obama agree that God should damn America?
Because I remember that. And then I remember Mussolini saying, well, you know, he pals around with terrorists. Mm-hmm. So there's no way out. Some I think will stick more than others. Steve in New York says that Buttigieg supporter, that was a total troll job. Yeah, I don't know that it was. That's just an ignorant Iowegian white lady who gets to vote. Now the multimillionaire for-profit media have been crawling all over Iowa for a year now, and the candidates have been campaigning their asses off, and Mayor Pete doesn't exactly hide the fact that he's gay. And yes, you're right, Brother Deacon Asa. That Iowa woman sounds like the West Virginia woman back in May of 2008 who voted for Hillary in the West Virginia primary, even though Barack Obama already had it sewed up. And when they interviewed her, she said, Well, I don't think we're ready for one of those in the White House. That wasn't a troll job. That was just the reality. And Stephen, New York, reminds us, 2008, honestly, I think the worst slanders came from Hillary. Question, is he a Muslim? Hillary, he's not, as far as I know. Yeah. The whole exchange, though, with the lady who was afraid to, you know, vote for one of them, to caucus for one of them homosexuals. There was more to it than just the ignorance at the front end. Let's get a little bit more and see if I can avoid interrupting it.
So are you saying that he has a same-sex partner?
Yes.
Are you kidding?
Yeah, he's married to him, yeah.
Well,
then I don't want anybody like that in the White House. So can I have my card back?
I don't know.
Find it.
We could go ask.
I never knew that.
The whole point of it is, though, if, he's a human being, right? Just like you and me, and shouldn't really matter. That's what.
Well, he better read the Bible.
He does, and he says that God doesn't choose a political party. Because
why does it say in the Bible that a man should marry a woman then?
Well, I totally respect your viewpoint on this. I so totally do.
Nope. My ability to not interrupt has just been defeated. The little millennial Pete Buttigieg person there. I so totally respect your point of view on that. Nah, lady, I don't respect your point of view on that, whatever that is. Well, why does it say in the Bible for a man to marry a woman? Well, ma'am, because we're talking about people who were so backward and so uncivilized and so goddamn barbaric that they were that they stood in slack-jawed amazement the first time they saw a Babylonian wheelbarrow. That's why they were backwater shepherds and goat herders and again, you know, all those commandments out there. Remember, you won't have a commandment against fucking the goats unless you already have a goat fucking problem. Because if you just put a don't fuck the goats commandment out there and you don't have a goat fucking problem in your culture, then you're gonna. Because you've already planted the seed. Hey, I wonder what that would be like. Nah, it's no big deal. And by the same token, the people who use religious structures to maintain power over the culture, and would like to someday be a big enough nation to go and kick the ass of the people who've been kicking their ass for so long. Well, they'd like to increase the population, and being as how they're uncivilized goddamn barbarians who are baffled by fucking wheelbarrows and rain, they come up with the notion of, oh, God doesn't want men to have relationships with men. He only wants men to have sex with women because God loves babies. Yeah. So the Pete Buttigieg supporter totally respects her bigoted, her bigoted backward, anti-constitutional position. But, you know, we're both Christians here. So, like I said, we know what they're going to do with Pete Buttigieg if he's the nominee. Yes, I confess, Darlene, in Connecticut, I did say that on purpose. Did you say that on purpose? Walking on their mouths and breathing through their knuckles or something like that? It was hilarious. I think the image is pretty... And it's somehow apt and apropos that people would be, yeah. But there she is, and she gets a vote. Let's hear the Mayor Pete surrogate take a little bit more of a run at this.
But I think that we were not around.
How come this has never been brought out before?
It's common knowledge.
Did you hear Iowa lady there? How come this has never been brought out before? Well, how far back in the cave do you live, ma'am? Yeah, you may be the last American in this country that doesn't know that Pete Buttigieg is gay. Hey, Kyle in Kentucky, Stan. Man, Kyle, I'm so sorry. I don't mean to do this to you, brother. Wait, she didn't know Mayor Pete's gay? Oh, my God, how are people this stupid? No wonder we got orange asshole. We're fucked! Well, no, I mean, I heard a news story that said Mayor Pete was gay, but I thought that that meant that he was happy. And I want a happy president, but I don't want him to be happy like that. Oh, dear. I'm going to have to pray over this. I know. Scott in San Diego, subject line, Hunter Biden. Sung to the tune of My Darling Clementine. Hunter Biden, the Benghazi of our time. Is it just meant to distract us as the GOP throws their slime? I'll leave it to you and the Horn family to come up with additional verses. No, that's plenty, Scott. Thank you. And Scott gets cowbell. Oh, now I'm getting that stuck in my head for the rest of the night. Yeah, as if 1187 Hunter Bosser wasn't fucking enough. Hunter Biden, Hunter Biden, the Benghazi of our time. That's pure genius, Scott. Stephen, New York, subject line, the Bible. As Democrats, we adhere to the tenet of equality, separation of church and state. If you don't think what Democrats think, you're not a Democrat. There are certain people I don't want to share a party with. She's one of them. Oh, but I betcha she makes a fantastic green bean casserole, don't you know, with that with those little French fried onions on the top and the cream of mushroom soup. Steve adds, he and his husband were interviewed on TV for Vishnu's sake. Wait a minute. Cowbell for making this the only program in America this evening that has made mention of the dear Lord Vishnu. Because that's just the kind of thing that happens here. David in South Carolina, Stan, with a cultural note along the way. Drive-by Truckers' Babies in Cages song is a song you need to know. That's the article in Rolling Stone. I recommend, David says, that people listen to this The Unraveling album instead of watching State of the Union tonight on Spotify, Apple, etc. That's not a bad idea. I might crank it up here in the Stoodly Oodlio and just listen to the whole thing. There's nothing quite like a brand new Drive-By Truckers album. Good call, David. Meanwhile, Brother Deacon Asa says, in other words, dumbass Iowa caucus lady didn't know that Mayor Pete has been found doing some caucusing of his own. You people. Uh-oh, not just you peopled you. Brother Deacon Asa pointed out something else a little bit earlier. With Flush Flembaugh being off the market, there's a massive hole in the talk radio universe for drug-addled on-air performance art. If you choose correctly, you could single-handedly grow the size of the listenership by 4 million or so pairs of ears. That $200 per evening struggle will be a distant memory in no time flat. Well, you know, I mean, it's 16 years that I've been promising no Limbaugh radio here. I mean, back when I was having gut flare-ups and I was just living on hydrocodone for weeks at a time, you know, hydrocodone and water, eventually graduating upwards toward Jell-O and then clear soup and then, you know, your more highfalutin soups, you know, dropping 40 and 50 pounds at a time. And I wouldn't get on air. I wouldn't get on air when I was all doped up with opioids. Because I made a promise that I wouldn't do Limbaugh Radio. But you know, you're right. You're right. I mean, it's not just Limbaugh. Look at the listener and viewership that Joe Rogan has. And his audience is comprised almost entirely of disaffected white men who resent the fact that they can't say that they can't say the other form of that word that contains all the same letters as ginger, and not have people think poorly of them for it. Like the time that Joe Rogan said it broke his heart when he found out that Richard Pryor had sex with men. Or all the times that he's refused to, that he's basically erased trans people, referring to male to female transgender individuals as dudes. Yeah. There's a market. I guess I just don't have the stomach for it. But Jesus, mean and hateful pays. It pays a fucking ton in this country. Or if you just go all in the tank all the time for one political crush or another. I mean, there are a couple of people out there on our side, and I'm not talking about the people that, you know, that are on terrestrial for-profit radio. There are people out there that have gone fully in the tank for this candidate or the other. I tried listening. I just find it incredibly dull. But, you know, they're raking it in. And part of that, you know, part of that is the fact that they're leveraging things other than their own streams. And depending on whether or not Facebook was telling me the truth, back when we were putting this program up on Facebook, it was expanding the reach of the program significantly. The problem with that being that you do not own your own platform, and they can cut you off for no reason or any reason, and then you're fucked. In this circumstance, all I have to do is stay on Brother Deacon Asa and Ben Birch's good side, and we're golden. And, you know, fight back the occasional bot swarm attacks on the servers and whatnot. But as I contemplate, and I'll be talking about this through the month, we're probably going to do, starting in March, over the course of March to April, we will do the crowdfunding campaign. Because the mansion here is severely in need of repairs. And when I say severely, I mean severely. And I'd like to make it worth your while. So when the time comes, one of the big premiums in the crowdfunding campaign will be the whole package that everything but transportation for the Horn Inn. Live music, maybe rent a couple of vans from Enterprise and take as many people as want to Caford Mountain. Let you see what a real mountaintop removal site looks like, because it changes your life when you see it, the real thing, in real time. But it'll be a Kickstarter campaign, which means if we don't meet the goal, It don't happen. And I'm anticipating that starting in March. And if we can make it happen, the Horn Inn is going to be a blast. Like I said, maybe a mountaintop removal trip. Hiking around here at the most beautiful time of the year. For those who feel physically up to it, a hike up to the rim of the gorge that will again imprint forever. We'll get some good local music going on. I got to thinking. I posted that picture of that wonderful Tom Yum Gong soup that Ging made for me. Maybe take one evening and have her lay out a huge Thai buffet for the Horn Inn group. I, of course, will be barbecuing. There will be chicken and pork and brisket and all manner of yummy smoked things. And we'll have a blast all the way around. I'm working on putting together my first ever book of my poetry. That'll be part of it. Everybody who comes to the Horn Inn will get a copy, or will get a copy when it's published. Hopefully by then. Don't know. Never did a book before. But that's the plan. In the meantime, though, we got $195 to raise. We've made an hour into the program, and we're still at zero. So it would be nice to get off the schneid and get started on that. Thanks to all of you who made Bruce's Memorial Challenge a reality yesterday. Thank you very kindly. Steve in New York, one more thing about Iowans. These are the people who take their voting responsibility so seriously. Iowa caucus. With any luck at all, the fuck-up of yesterday has put paid to the idea of ever, ever, ever again relying on the Iowa caucus. Flavio, subject line, mean and hateful. Two of my siblings listening to Joe Rogan and want me to listen to him. I'm horrified. Well, I mean, feel free. But it's... it's not exactly an enlightening experience. And as Brother Deacon Asa points out, Rogan's listenership is about 99% incels. There's probably some truth to that. As far as No Limbaugh Radio is concerned, Brother Deacon Asa says, now that Limbaugh's gone, it technically won't be Limbaugh Radio. You can call it Bob Radio. Yeah, but do I really want the Jones? I don't have an affinity for monkeys generally, and particularly not ones that are on my back. You seem to be conjuring the ghost of Sarah Palin and her inflections with your voice imitations tonight, Bob, LOL. Thank you, Darlene. I don't know where the Iowa begins and the Sarah Palin ends, because that's not an Alaska accent that Mussolini had. No, Godzilla from Wasilla got that accent growing up in the Northern Plains states, where she's sort of from. David in South Carolina, Stan, pointing out, we are now no more resistant to disinformation and misinformation than we were in 2016. The same fucking plays are being played, the exact same ones. Yeah, they are. Oh, and by the way, this was going to be the year that Iowa really, really showed that great wave of energy. The real tear the roof off the sucker turnout number happened in 2008 with Barack Obama. Turnout for the Iowa caucus last night, the Iowa carcass, was roughly identical to 2016. And the phrase roughly identical to 2016 fills me with fear and dread and loathing and makes me want to take to my bed and drink cheap tequila through a swirly straw. What's that, Clarity? He used a condom. Who used a condom? The conversation, that was 9 minutes ago. I'm not sure who used the condom. Sorry about that. Should have gotten to it sooner. That's probably funny. But this is conversation radio, and rumor has it that I'm actually connected to the Bluetooth. So let's see if we can stay connected to the Bluetooth and see who's with us. Hey, welcome to the program.
Happy time to you, Bob. It's me, Reggie from the King of Georgia.
Hey, Reggie, what's up, man?
Well, as you talk about Rush Limbaugh both yesterday and today. Now, if they have the exact same style, they have him with his advanced long pants, and why did they do the exact same thing on Nicole Sandler when she had her spouse with long cancer? A long time ago. Why didn't they do that from Nicole Sandler? She had her bone box with cancer, long cancer, that is.
I don't know. You're a little garbled there, Reggie. So I missed something here.
I said, why didn't they do the exact same thing for Nicole Sandler that they're doing for Rush Limbaugh?
Oh well, because Rush Limbaugh is a toxic right wing hate monger. That's why.
Right. So I guess liberals be damned. Like Nicole Sandler. Liberals like us, but just her be damned.
With very limited exceptions, the only people that would get to kind of mention that Flush Flimball got yesterday are mighty scarce among that segment of broadcasters who are considered to be liberal and or progressive.
Right. So do you think they do the same for Stephanie Miller? She got
bigger. I don't know if Stephanie's big enough. Maybe. Yeah, I'm thinking. You know, maybe Rachel. Now, I'm not wishing anything on anybody, but maybe one of the big time TV ones.
You mean like Rachel Maddow? You mean Rachel Maddow?
Yeah, Rachel Maddow. Yes.
And anybody else? Or Chris Matthews?
Well, Chris Matthews isn't anything I'd refer to as liberal, but yeah. Well, I mean, remember the grief orgy that they threw for Tim Russert. If you go back that far.
Right. Well, what happened? Oh, that's right. He died. But what did they do for him before he passed?
Well, not before. No, he just, you know, and dead. And then we had a 2 week grief orgy.
Right. That's true. Well, like you said, they won't do anything for her. Because if you yourself gotten sick, they said, damn him to hell. They would have said, damn him to hell, Bob. They'll let you die, but they'll say Rush Limbaugh's way. You know what I mean, Bob?
You probably weren't listening yesterday, but... The fact of the matter is
right.
the discussion is not about Rush Limbaugh having cancer, but all the other Americans who have cancer and don't have unlimited amounts of resources to pour into saving their hides.
Right. Or affordable medical insurance.
Well, affordable medical care. Yeah. Fuck insurance.
Yeah, affordable medical care. Most people don't have that. As you said before, most people don't have that. Because, you know, it's very high for most people. Sort of expensive for most people to have to pay for affordable Medicare. You know? That's work just to pay it off, right? That's a struggle. You know, like you said, most people have two or three jobs. You have to pay for that and everything else in between.
Well, it's real out here.
Yes, it is real out there. If reality is biting people in the ass, right, or kicking them in the ass. Either way, it's painful for these people out here. And did you... What did you watch, the Super Bowl, Bob, or did you just
No, I watched
watch the halftime show? Oh, you did.
Yeah, I did.
Well, what did you think about the halftime show, if I may ask?
Obviously, the right-wing conniption that's being had about it is completely manufactured horse shit. Because you got Franklin Graham saying, those Jezebel heathen brown women, they're teaching our 2-year-old little granddaughter baby girls to be strippers, and because America, God, and we ain't got no morals anymore. You know, all the while there are children in cages that Franklin Graham can't be bothered to even waste a brain cell on. So,
well, why would kids be watching halftime shows anyway? Shouldn't there be a discretionary advice?
I mean, there was nothing to discretionarily advise about. I mean, I confess, I'm a codger, I'm a geezer. That's not my cup of tea. I'm a rock and roller. But the problem is rock and roll is dead. You get these lip sync spectacles.
And J-Lo and Shakira.
The spectacular, spectacular, magnificent choreography.
Right.
And so, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Just not my thing, and that's okay.
Right.
But you get
yeah, but you're not on.
You get Tammy Lauren out there saying, J-Lo.
J-Lo is married to Jay-Z, and he used to sell crack, and they sat during the national anthem. America's been good to them, but I guess they don't love America. Oh, shut up.
I think Beyonce is married to Jay-Z.
I didn't mean J-Lo. Yeah. I meant Beyonce. Beyonce, yeah.
Yeah.
Jesus.
She got that wrong.
Jesus, God. I'm going to hell for that one. That's just...
Yeah, she got that wrong. But
yeah, but no...
Maybe Tommy Lawrence is jealous because she herself couldn't be a cheerleader for either team of the Super Bowl.
No. Tammy has Tammy Lauren is deeply conflicted. She's got a serious case of the hots for black dudes. She's white power Barbie, and she's got to constantly dog whistle to that bunch so that the check from Fox will keep on clearing. I mean,
right.
I don't know if you remember this, but she tried to get something going with Trevor Noah over at the Daily Show years back.
But. What happened with that? So nothing happened with that one, I'm sure. I'm sure nothing happened with that.
No, nothing did. But
good.
I don't much care about those little bullshit cultural kerfuffles. I just sincerely don't care. And frankly, the Super Bowl ruins the football game too.
Why you say that, Bob?
And the hyper patriotism that attends it just creeps me out.
Oh, it does?
Yeah.
Who's more hyper patriotic?
Turning everything before the kickoff into a well paid product placement for the military industrial complex. Ew.
Right. And more beer commercials. More beer commercials, right, Bob?
No, I'm not talking about the commercialism, Reggie. I'm talking about the fascistic, hyper bullshit, false patriotic crap that they wrap it in.
Oh, like the American flag?
No, not like the. I'm talking the whole thing, Reggie. It's not one thing. It's everything.
Oh, right. So that's why you hate it so much.
No, I didn't say I hate it. I said it creeps me out. It was like
a, oh, it creeps you out.
It's like an advertisement for war and war making.
And
you'll notice that the thing was held in South Florida. So where was Nitwit Nero? Oh wait, he was at Mar-a-Lago, costing the American people $3.64 million. I think the number I saw was. And he didn't show up at the stadium in Miami, because that's not like showing up at a stadium in Tuscaloosa, Alabama, where you can count on the maggots to cheer you. And no, he didn't show. No, no, he stayed away from that stadium unless I missed something. That's how we got the video of him pantomiming leading the orchestra during the Star Spangled Banner.
Right.
Because if he had been introduced in South Florida, he would have been booed out of the building.
Right. And like you said, Bob, you're not on the air ranting and raving about the halftime show like these conservatives are doing, Republicans are doing. You're not bitching about it. You're not complaining about it. You know, not like they are.
What would I complain about? It was perfectly innocuous. It was vanilla. There was nothing to complain about.
Right.
It was a couple of gigantic, brilliantly produced, intensely choreographed production numbers. I mean, it's the kind of spectacle you see if you go to a big Broadway musical. It's people dancing and pretending to sing.
Right. Or ballet. Right.
So, I mean, what would I complain about? I mean, I'm certainly not going to complain about the fact that it's not exactly my cup of tea musically, but I'm a 57-year-old white dude, okay?
Right.
It's not going to resonate with me, and it's not designed to. I'm outside of the demographic now. I am no longer in the age group that gets pitched to by advertising companies. The only ads that are pitched to me are for prescription medications early in the morning when the advertising firms have a reasonably good guess that I might be awake.
Right. Right. Like you say, you're a lifelong rock and roller or rock and roll fan.
Yeah, would I love to see the drive-by truckers do the Super Bowl halftime show? Sure. Would the drive-by truckers ever accept that invitation? The laughter by Mike Cooley and Patterson Hood could probably be heard on Jupiter.
Right. They wouldn't. It's not their thing. It's not their cup of tea. Why are they still bidding about Beyonce and Jay-Z not paying up for the
Star Spangled
Banner?
Oh, that's just Tammy Lauren working through her jealousy of Beyonce.
So she secretly wishes that she herself was black.
Right? No, she does not. Tammy Lauren just desperately wants the black D.
Right. I thought she had a black boyfriend, I've heard.
Not that I'm aware of, but when you couple that with how much she worships wealth, somebody like Jay-Z just drives her into a sweat-soaked frenzy.
Right, because she's wealthy, well, they're wealthy, and she's not.
No, I mean she's doing okay or whatever. Man, I didn't realize this was such a tough concept. No, she is turned on by money and black dudes.
Yes,
and so you take the two and combine them in a guy like Jay-Z, and she's going to be and naturally she's going to be all catty toward Beyonce. This isn't one that we've got to exhume Sigmund Freud for, Reggie. But I got to roll out of here, man. It's good to talk to you. I'm gonna get to the next call here, and hopefully
since I filibustered all last night, folks will get a chance to get their say in this evening. You take care, Reggie.
Right. You do too, Bob, and keep warm, okay?
All right. Trying to, man. Trying to.
I think it's going to rain here tonight or tomorrow.
It's going to rain here forever. It may rain here till April. I don't know.
Why you say that, Bob? Oh, you know.
Because the weather forecast calls for rain or snow every day for the next 10.
Right.
And I'm liable to be a surly little bastard by the time we're deep into that, as if I weren't already.
Yeah.
Reggie, take care, brother. We'll talk to you later, man. See ya.
Bye, Bob.
Bye. Now. And that's Reggie calling from Decatur. Man, I feel stupid for saying J-Lo instead of Beyonce. Jesus Christ. I'm probably going to get disinvited to the cookout if Tracy heard that. But, I mean, the vile pontification of Franklin Graham, every time I see a tweet or a Facebook post for him, all I can think of is our dear friend Sandra saying, "Glory call!" Home to glory, Frank. Home to glory. You know, I guess that's why the early church had to outlaw suicide. Because, you know, going to live with Jesus is so doggone awesome. If you had everybody just deciding to go hurry up and go ahead and do it, the church wouldn't have anybody to give them money. So you have to declare suicide as a mortal sin. Bob, Bob, Bob. Oh, dear. Wait a minute. Hey, Billable, wait a minute. That's not an email from Ron and Raleigh. Only Ron and Raleigh gets to use Bob, Bob, Bob. Subject line, Rush Limbaugh. Billable Rick writes, "Bob, Bob, Bob, please start drinking the rot gut tequila with the swirly straw to compete with Rush Limbaugh's. We really need you to take up Rush's mantle and do some Hunter S. Thompson radio. As your attorney, I advise you to start drinking and to continue to do so for the next 24 hours. You've said for many years that evil is a preservative. In the case of Rush, his terminal cancer diagnosis, it's not terminal. They did not diagnose it as terminal, Billable Rick. You got to pay attention to these things. They're treating him. Cast great doubt on your theory. Exhibit 2 in refutation of your thesis would be Roger Ailes, who left this planet before most of the sexual harassment suits could be filed against him. As a counterpoint, I give you Dick Cheney and Henry Kissinger, who still live. You know, and Mitch McConnell. I never thought I would see the day when I thought that there was somebody who could out evil Dick Cheney and Henry Kissinger together. But I think we've got that in Mitch McConnell. I really, really do. All right, let's run over and check in with Scott. Hey, Scott.
Hey, Bob. Hey, Bob. Hey, Bob. Am I on?
Yep, you are on.
Good. I can never figure out these icons on this iPhone with the mic mute, mic not mute button.
Yeah, 15 hours a week, just he takes a lot of vacation time, but yeah.
Well, we need to give Rush's spot worldwide, coast to coast and around the world, to Reggie. A week or two of Reggie will keep those nose pickers on their toes.
Oh.
Yeah, I like Reggie. He's a good soul. Well, let me give you a critique. You did all right on the Hunter Biden. This time, do it in the voice of Huckleberry Hound. Come on, you can do it, Bob.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know if I've got a good Huckleberry Hound.
Put on your best Dawes Butler. Come on. God, it's been a while since I've done it. Oh, my darling, Clementine. Yeah, wasn't that Huckleberry Hound's tune?
I do believe you're right.
Jeez. Those old Hanna-Barbera animated shows were the best. The Jetsons and the Flintstones, and they got a little crazy in the 70s with they got away from their roots, is what I'm saying. Or maybe I grew up. By the 70s, I was too damn old to watch cartoons, except maybe for Warner Brothers. You can never outgrow Warner Brothers animated Looney Tunes.
No, you're not meant to. Those things were made for adults in the first place.
Yeah. Jeez.
Well, let me share something before we get into the meat of things here, because sure. I left out part of Billable Rick's note.
Okay.
And I think this is salient. P.S. Remember, Billable Rick is an Iowegian. P.S. I'm so embarrassed that the Iowegians can't fucking count. Their screwing up dissemination of the voting results last night is absolutely disgraceful. It makes the Democrats look like the gang that can't shoot straight. They can't, as well as unable to effectively govern the country. I'm sure that the Mar-a-Lago Mussolini will get in a few self-inflicted cheap shots against the Iowa Dems and Dems generally during the State of the Union tonight. Well, he and Dimson, you know, he and Beavis were tweeting merrily away about how, they can't run a caucus and they want to run the country. At least the scorekeeper at Carver Hawkeye Arena can properly count the points in Iowa's basketball games. Rock on, Bob. Rock is only dead if you think it is. So, yeah. By the way, my apologies. Frontier buffered up and knocked us off the air, but Brother Deacon Asa was quick on the warning, so I was able to get the stream back. Don't give up. Never give up. Never surrender. And thanks for letting me know, Randy. Appreciate it, Randy and PA. Darlene in Connecticut says, so didn't Rush Limpballs always brag that he paid out of pocket for his health care? Should be interesting to see how much this is going to cost him, although I'm sure it'll be no sweat for him. But the goddess of irony has struck again on so many levels with this one. Yes, and we will sacrifice many rubber chickens to her that she will continue so to do. Yeah, what the? Are you there? Okay.
Yeah, I'm here. I'm just listening to you.
Yeah, it's just going to be a night of technical weirdness, I guess.
You know, I'll tell you, two things. Well, I'll talk about the Iowa thing. Well, let me talk about Limbaugh first, since I can cover that with, you know, quick dispatch.
Plus, you're an old radio hand.
Well, see, here's the thing. I know.
Plus, he worked in Kansas City, and you worked in Kansas City.
Well, I worked at the last station he worked at about a year and a half after he left. Yeah, the hallways were still buzzing with stories about Limbaugh. Yeah, he was. The few times that I've heard his show, and I haven't really listened out of morbid curiosity or whatever for 15, 20 years or more, but he used to talk about when he would hold up a document, a la Joe McCarthy, he would say in his formerly nicotine-stained fingers. I believe he was a cigarette smoker for some time, as most baby DJs were. Back in the 60s.
Well, I mean, I'm not sure, but I mean, I remember back into the 90s when he was being featured on the cover of Cigar Aficionado.
Well, and see, the thing about cigar smoke, and I'm sure that he hung around with other cigar smokers, the secondhand smoke, whether it's pipe or cigarette or cigar, yeah, it's true. You don't inhale cigars or pipes. You just don't. Because of the alkaline or the acid, I forget which it is. I think it's the alkaline level of the particular nature of cigar and pipe tobacco. Whereas with cigarettes, they are grown and genetically bred and chosen for cigarettes simply for the purposes of inhalation, so that they. You couldn't, like you say, you couldn't use pipe tobacco.
Yeah, Virginia Burley and, well, like on the Camels, a blend of exotic Turkish tobaccos and Virginia Burley.
Yeah.
Tobacco is grown for different sorts of tobacco are grown for different purposes, sure.
Yeah, so you wouldn't inhale a pipe or cigar smoke. On the other hand, you've got to know that he hung out with cigar smokers. And if you're in a cigar lounge and martini lounge or whatever, and you're surrounded by fellow cigar smokers, you're going to get a better than even average dose of secondhand smoke. And they're finding in recent years that whether it's cigarette smoke or pipe or cigar smoke, That secondhand smoke can kill you almost as efficiently as having a two-pack a day cigarette habit. You know, so who knows?
Oh, no, vast green clouds of cigar smoke are hateful.
Oh, yeah. So who knows? I mean,
and this comes from somebody who likes cigars. I do, okay?
Yeah. Well, I smoke a pipe every now and again, you know, a couple of times a month in the winter. I'll go out front and walk up and down the sidewalk, puffing away.
And there sincerely are good cigars and bad cigars. What most people don't realize in the cigar world is that all the flavor, so to speak, comes from the wrapper.
Yeah.
The binder is just a wad of tobacco leaves. And then there's a binder around that, and the character of the cigar comes largely from the wrapper.
Yeah. But the point of it is, as an early cigarette smoker in the 60s and 70s, and his years smoking cigars and being around other cigar smokers, who knows what he inhaled? You know, plus his lifestyle is probably such, diet and all. I'm sure he's a meat eater. Who knows what combination of factors and his family history, you know, there's a whole shitload of stuff.
Yeah, and the fact that he keeps a wife in a pit, you know.
Yeah, who's gonna
put it puts the lotion on its skin, my friends. The pit, I actually dug the pit, and my friends, I wanted you to know that I don't just keep her in the pit. I keep her in the pit, and she has a Bose Wave radio. And the floors of the pit are made of lumber liquidators wood. The bed she sleeps on is made of foam developed by NASA and turned into mattresses by a Swedish firm. And there's the sleep number bed, my friends, and the whole thing is housed within a General Steel building.
Don't forget the Snapple. That son of a bitch ruined me for Snapple. I couldn't drink it after I found out he was selling it.
Oh, well, no, when he started hustling it, Snapple sales went to hell in a hurry.
Really?
Oh, yeah. That's why it didn't last that long.
Hmm. Well, see, that's how long ago I actually tuned in to hear anything he had to say. I just, I don't know if you saw my Facebook post about the news of his diagnosis, and some of my friends apparently misconstrued it to mean that I was hoping and am delighting in his diagnosis, which I am definitely not. I would never do that. All I said was,
Can I ask a question?
Yeah,
I mean, we had all those prim lectures on social media yesterday. But you know, you don't wish cancer on anybody. God damn it, you don't do it. Not your worst enemy. You don't wish cancer. Really, really, you wouldn't wish cancer on Adolf Hitler. You wouldn't wish cancer. You wouldn't wish cancer on Jeffrey Epstein.
These are trick questions,
Bob. Harvey Weinstein. You wouldn't wish, but that wasn't even the nature of my real inquiry. My real inquiry is this: why is it we say that about cancer, but we don't say it about COPD or heart disease? You know, you don't wish heart disease on somebody. I wouldn't wish heart disease on my worst enemy.
Well, it's the big C. It has a reputation.
It's terrifying.
Tell me about it. My mother had lung cancer, smoking them goddamn Pall Mall Reds all those years, and lost a lung. And later, when she had another malady hit her, it was too soon after the removal of whichever lung it was, and she couldn't tolerate the treatment.
Well, here's the other thing, though. There are plenty of people in the mountaintop removal sacrifice zone who have never smoked a cigarette in their fucking lives.
Yeah.
And they die of lung cancer. The more the science digs, the more we find out about the toxic nature of things called ultrafine particulates. These are particulates of less than 100 microns, okay? Less than 1/100th the diameter of a human hair. And that's what the air is full of around mountaintop removal sites. But there are also lots of them in cities and in areas where there's heavy concentration of diesel-fueled vehicles and in areas around frack pads. Lots of ultrafine particulates. And because I actually know some of the scientists who've done some of the work, one of the things they found out at the Mary Babb Randolph Cancer Center up in Morgantown, Scott, is that you can take human lung tissue and you can simulate an 8-year dose of ultrafine particulates with that lung tissue, and you can observe in real time under the microscope on a slide. You can expose a cell to ultrafine particulates, and like 8, 9, 10 cells away, you can see mutagenic changes beginning in cells that were not subjected directly to it.
Yeah.
And when I say mutagenic changes, what you're talking about there is tumor formation.
Yeah.
Now there's no tobacco involved in these studies. This is not me defending tobacco, but it is.
No,
it's a way of pointing out that. When you get in, and it's one of the problems we faced with the 8 campaign, when you get into epidemiology, it is damn near impossible to get an epidemiologist to say that something is the cause. Because we live, people who have lung cancer aren't just people who lived in cigar bars.
Mm-hmm.
And so consequently, you've got people breathing exhaust fumes. You've got people in their work environments. I mean, my father worked around asbestos while he was aboard ship in the Navy, and the entire time that he was working around silicon furnaces. Because asbestos is a tremendous insulator. It's just also poisonous as shit.
Well, and not only can you usually not get a reputable doctor to state specifically that something is the cause of some issue, okay? You've got, just like the tobacco companies, I'm sure that the mountaintop removal people have their physicians on payroll who will swear up and down on a stack of 100 Bibles.
They tried to. They funded something to the tune of like $15 million, some crazy number, over at Virginia Tech University, VPI, Virginia Polytechnic. In Blacksburg, and they bought themselves a bunch of scientists to try to refute these peer-reviewed studies upon which the AIC Act is based.
Mm-hmm.
They couldn't. It's all legitimate science. It's all sound. It's all reasonable. And because it's statistic-based research, they factored out all the biscuits and gravy and the cigarette smoke and the cigars and everything but mountaintop removal, and you still wind up with all these goddamned excess deaths to the tune of about 1,000 a year in the counties where mountaintop removal is practiced.
Yeah. And how long has mountaintop removal been a reasonably big thing?
It got got started under the Clinton administration, and it broke out and went wild under the dim leader administration.
But hasn't it, maybe not always, but for a long time prior to its really revving up in the last 20, 25 years, hasn't it been a form of coal acquisition?
No. There was strip mining, and back before 1977, it was just the Wild West. There was no regulation, nothing. But it wasn't done on this massive scale with this massive amount of explosives.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I'm confusing that with strip mining.
But the first actual mountaintop removal job is referred to in, I think, God Bless You, Mr. Rosewater, or Breakfast of Champions. If Reverbo's listening, he'll be able to tell me.
By Vonnegut. By Vonnegut. Yeah, well, that would go back to the 70s.
It was in this county where I live, and it was in 1972.
Yeah.
But it really didn't get scaled up until the late 90s. But then again, the broader issue with the coal industry is that they've been killing people for over 100 years and lying about it. I mean, nobody challenges the reality of the science of black lung now, otherwise known as coal workers' pneumoconiosis.
Yeah.
Where the constant inhalation of coal dust eventually destroys your ability to breathe, and it is a horrible way. If you've ever known anybody who's died of it, you wish you didn't. We talk about cancer and the big C, and it's terrifying. Black lung is terrifying. It is horrifying. It's terrible. It destroys a human being. And the thing is, as far back as the early 1900s, the coal industry knew about it, but they paid doctors to say that everybody who had black lung was a cigarette smoker.
Well, see,
a certain irony in the fact that one of the first groups in America to point out the dangers of cigarette smoking was the coal industry, as a means of deflecting from the diseases that the coal industry itself was creating.
Well, this is where I was going. This is what I was getting at. Whether it's black lung or whether it's the hazards of tobacco usage, or now in today's world, mountaintop removal. About 8 or 10 years ago, I read an amazingly great book called Golden Holocaust about cigarette smoking and the tobacco, the hazards, health hazards of tobacco. It was written by Dr. Robert N. Proctor. And I'm telling you, and they covered that in the book, the black lung and the coal mining industry. That where I'm going with this is, as long as there are big bucks to be made, there will be industries who will deny science. We're seeing that now, not just with mountaintop removal, we're seeing it with climate change, and the petrochemical industry, fossil fuels. As long as there are big bucks to be made, they will stand in the way of human health and vibrancy. They always have. They always will. You know, and it's just and getting back to Limbaugh, which is, you know, the main reason, one of the reasons I called. You know, I don't wish something like lung cancer on even the likes of him. I just don't, because my
family, but by God, he giggled and had himself a high old time laughing at Ruth Bader Ginsburg over her pancreatic cancer.
I know that.
And then it's no real use here because it's a radio program. There's the video of him mocking, you know, long before Donald Trump was jiggling and mocking a reporter for his disability, you had Rush Limbaugh jiggling and mocking Michael J. Fox for having Parkinson's disease.
None of his abhorrent behavior can be excused. I just grant you that. All I'm saying is my personal choice as a human being is not to wish him ill necessarily. To the extent that I'm able to, I give some degree of compassion, even though he's probably the last person who should receive compassion from an enlightened, loving human being such as myself, he said modestly. Okay? But just let me get to the point of where I was going with this. I had posted about this yesterday when the news first broke. And people in my friends list thought that I was just saying horrendous things and wishing ill on the guy. You know, I never wished any of these horrors on him or anybody else. You know, I never suggested that he deserves to have it happen. Okay. I just have to wonder exactly what reaction Rush Limbaugh himself would expect from those of us who might admire his talent as a radio person, as far as it goes, but detest his political, social, and cultural views. And, you know, in a way, it's his lead that I'm following in this reaction. Over the years, the man has shown no discernible regard whatsoever for those who don't share his narrow values. In fact, he's come across as a go-it-alone, independent, self-reliant, keep your liberal hands off my right to say and believe and do what I want, and I'm not going to impinge on his so-called rights at this late date. And like you noted before, he'll do fine. The fucker pulls down $50 million a year and can afford, you know, the best health care on the planet. And for that matter, he can well afford to hire professional sympathy providers to support him emotionally in this time of need, or get professional mourners to wail as loudly as possible at his eventual passing, if he wants to. What he can't seem to manage is to erase, undo, or diminish by a single whit his own well-established record as a human being. Nor can he purchase, wheedle, whine, manipulate, or generate even a thimbleful of compassion from the millions of folks he has literally used for decades to empower and to enrich himself. So, I mean, that should clear up where I am on the matter of Mr. Limbaugh. I'm sorry to see anybody go through this, except maybe for Hitler or Edie, I mean, okay? I just as a human being, you know, recognizing that, try as he might not to display human tendencies, you know, all of us, none of us really deserves this type of malady. But he'll do fine. You know, he'll either get treated and recover and go on to do his bullshit. What he won't do is take this golden opportunity. Good God, how many chances has he had over the years? Severe opioid addiction, numerous...
And remember, remember when he got his cochlear implant?
Yes, he's had any number of opportunities.
But he got that as he was driven deaf by his his opiate addiction.
Yeah, yeah, that shit affects the inner workings of your hearing mechanism. But I mean, between that and the opioid problems and his failed relationships, at every turn, he's been handed an opportunity to for a moment of introspection and self-discovery and growth as a person, to be a better person. And he's failed each opportunity he's been given. I don't see him doing it this time around. Like the flames of hell, should such a place exist, will be licking at his well-manicured toes, and he'll deny doing the right thing. I will just leave him to whatever fucking happens. And the people who are wailing and gnashing their gums because they can't afford dental work, most of his listeners, they're just going to go on wailing and gnashing their gums, because shit happens, even to the likes of him, maybe especially to the likes of him. I didn't mean to get all wound up, Bob, but
no,
I just...
No, it happens. It's okay.
But that's not why I called. And Todd, I heard you yesterday invoking my name, saying not to pull a Scott on you, but that's not why I called, Bob. I'm on to you, Todd. But anyway, the thing last night, the Iowa caucus...
That's a little bit more vigorous cowbell than you got last night.
Yeah, I know. I thought socking the socky was a good line. I think I stole it from Phyllis Diller from a comedy album she did about 112 years ago. They're not hitting the bottle, they're socking the socky. ba-dum-bum. But I just, it boggles the mind, this colossal fuck-up. You know, I half expected the resurrected Tim Russert to show up on the set over at NBC with his whiteboard saying, Florida, Florida, Florida. It's Gore. No, it's Bush. No, it's Gore. You know? What a colossal fuck-up.
What and what a nation, and what a nation we are. Once upon a time, we put people on the moon. Now we can't count ballots.
Yeah, yeah. And it's not like you're not talking about the most populous fucking state in the union. What's the voting population of Iowa?
Oh, I don't. The numbers are not that impressive. I had I had a note from I think it was Flavio earlier. Here it is. Democratic state delegate equivalents. Pete Buttigieg, 363 votes, 26.95%.
Yeah. So, and I'm not talking about the registered capable voters of Iowa, because only like 100,000, 200,000 tops show up typically for these party primaries every 4 years. I would be surprised if they broke to 125,000.
Okay, here's the actual vote totals.
Okay.
Bernie Sanders, 27,088 votes. Pete Buttigieg, 23,666. Well, that ought to be a fucking sign. Elizabeth Warren, 20,848. So we are up at, 30, 50, 70, 86, 90, 100,000. Around 100, a little more than 100,000 votes. Tulsi Gabbard got 12 votes.
Oh, wow. God, be still my heart. I'm going to rush right out and vote for her, Bob.
Here's the funny thing. Tulsi Gabbard got 12. Other got 103.
Well, listen, you can't go wrong supporting Other. I've said that for a good number of years.
But it keeps going back and forth. And I suspect that Pete and Bernie will both come out of this claiming victory.
A fourth grader or a four-year-old even, armed with an ordinary calculator that you get in a box of Captain Crunch, could do a better job of tabulating the goddamn Iowa Democratic primary vote total. You know? What are we, 20, all going on, you know, 18 hours after the fucking primary or caucus? And we only in the last hour and a half came out with the fucking partial numbers. Partial, Bob.
I know.
Jesus. You know, I just, it boggles the mind. And it doesn't. First of all, it doesn't bode well. Anything that gives Trump an opportunity to be more of an asshole than he already is doesn't work to our advantage. Now, does it?
Not really.
You know? And it's, you know, and it, like I said, it's not as if demographically, culturally, racially, or numerically, on none of those factors, is Iowa even remotely considered, you know, a valid picture of the rest of the fucking country?
Yet right.
They are somehow first every 4 years. But that's only a tradition that goes back to something like 72.
Well, hopefully it's over now.
Well, maybe. We're hard cases when it comes to learning from our mistakes, you know? In this country, we just truly, truly are.
And if you want to state that more accurately represents the state of the Democratic Party and the demographic makeup of the Democratic Party, how about Virginia? How about Maryland?
Yeah.
How about Illinois?
California is not a bad.
Oh no, no, we can't let California go first because that would ruin everything.
Well.
it's all laughable, Scott, until we finally just wake up some morning and go, hey, Bob was right. It's the 21st century. We need a one-day national primary. Because otherwise this madness is going to eventually collapse of its own weight.
Which do you think we'll see first come to pass? And here are your choices. The abolishment of the Electoral College or a one-day national primary?
Do I get a vote for, I don't know, monkeys flying out Trump's butt?
Information?
Yeah,
sure.
Because I'd be inclined to probably vote for that one, because we as a nation are not smart enough to get rid of the Electoral College, and we are not smart enough to do a one-day national primary.
I made it too easy, Bob. Winged monkeys flying in formation, singing in multi-part harmony, comedy tonight, flying out of Trump's ass. How's
Scott,
that?
It's got my vote.
How's that for your winged monkeys?
It's got my vote.
Da-da-da-da-da-da. Jesus. I just...
Nice reference to comedy tonight, though. That's, you know... There's never a bad time for a reference to a funny thing happened on the way to the forum.
Don't I know it? I love that. That's a film that needs to be shown more often than it
Zero
is.
Zero Mostel.
Yeah, and Buster
I went to school
Keaton.
With his nephew, you know.
Who?
Zero Mostels.
Well, how is he he wouldn't be Josh Mostel.
He wasn't anybody Mostel.
Oh, okay.
But I went to school with Zero Mostel's nephew.
God, I loved him. In The Producers, and in a film called Rhinoceros that not too many people have seen. And a funny thing happened, and oh, God, he was... I mean, I could see The Producers. They could show it once a month, and I would stop whatever I was doing and watch it. He Gene
Wilder. Yeah,
I've got a
short list of films that are that way. Anything by Mel Brooks, just pretty much.
Dick Shawn as Hitler. Jesus, come on. It doesn't get any better than that. when springtime for Hitler
and Germany. There's Squeaky in the chat room saying, run the national primary on a weekend. Yeah, that's real easy and real smart, which means necessarily that the United States will never do it.
Yeah, I mean, you'll see those winged monkeys.
I know how much the space program means to you. Are you filled with as much dread as I am at the thought of us trying to go back to the moon or anywhere else for that matter, given the state of our nation?
Oh, I haven't. This is not your daddy's space program. I shouldn't even say what we've been doing. When was the last time we launched our own fucking vehicle? We've hitched a ride with the Russians since the last Challenger. And when was that? Christ, that was.
Yeah, but we did have the successful reentry test of the manned capsule.
The SpaceX deal?
Yeah, I guess it was. Yeah.
Yeah.
They splashed it down in the ocean. And
I pledge to you that we'll send a man to the moon and bring him back safely before the end of the decade.
We do this not because it is easy, but because it is hard.
Hard. I have no illusions about this stuff. We are a shadow.
No, we're done.
We're a shadow of our former greatness, such as it was.
And you know, we didn't elect, but he wound up in the White House, a guy whose slogan is "Make America Great Again," and we just get less great by the moment.
Yeah.
It's like our national IQ is being dragged down to his. One more term of Donald Trump, and they will quit. They will quit selling shoes in the United States that have shoelaces. They'll all either be slip-ons or Velcros.
Yeah. Yeah, but we're great. We're great. Donald Trump made America great.
I noticed something the other day. We make men's dress shoes now with sneaker soles. Maybe that's an advancement, but they look really silly to me.
Men's dress shoes?
Yeah.
What, like crepe soles or?
Yeah, like, you know, white rubber soles.
Oh, my God. Well,
I saw a millennial hipster with his very narrow jacket and his very narrow pants, and it was a suit, and he had on these dress shoes, but they had white rubber soles on them. I'm like, son, could you not find your dress shoes? are you adopting that whole Woody Allen Converse with a tux thing that he used to do? I mean, dressing like Woody is not in vogue these days, bud.
I don't mean to, you know, be the old geezer
but
that
they're comfortable as hell, is what I'm told.
I don't mean to be the old geezer that I apparently am, Bob. You know, and I never thought I would get old enough to be that person. But I will probably shuffle off this mortal coil just in time. Maybe I'll even avoid some future outrage. You know, just at the moment, I let go and move on to whatever may be next. And it probably is not that far down the road. You know, maybe by the time I'm in my mid to late 80s, if my palm reading friend from childhood was correct, she said I would live to be, I think, 89. And I figure, you know, I'll be 66 this June. So I'm not too far away. And it keeps getting closer in my rearview mirror, you know, with each passing year, Bob. You're 57. You're a mere
Shut up. Objects in mirror are closer than they appear.
Well, that's what I mean. The Grim Reaper is starting to take on discernible features, you know? And in a way, it's almost a welcoming thing. Because, you know, I never want to be that person that says, boy, back in my day, it was so much better. But for Christ's sake, it was better. It in so many measurable ways, Bob. There was some degree of optimism and can-do spirit and the fucking new frontier that JFK talked about.
And you know what? Before we get lost in some sort of nostalgic two old white guys talking. Let me add to this that there was even, you know, there was even can-do spirit. It's Black History Month, you know. There was can-do spirit in the civil rights movement. The time had come. It had to be done, and they determined that they were a generation who could do it.
There were moral imperatives, Bob. America in the places that mattered are...
And if it didn't die on November 22nd, 1963, then it certainly did on January 20th, 1969. And it's been pretty much of a shit show ever since.
The 60s were a time when our consciences were correctly stricken. Now, remember, not to get all soggy with nostalgia here, but that was back when we actually had consciences. Okay, so there's that. But that was a time when we were capable of moral outrage. I'm not talking about just anger and fear and this bullshit boogeyman type behavior that we see our current chief executive exhibiting. I'm talking about a time when human beings in this fucking country were capable of looking honestly at situations and being inspired and otherwise impelled to actually behave in a manner consistent with changing the public narrative and the human condition, even if it was just a little bit. You know?
Or maybe we're just cynics.
No, a little cynicism is not necessarily a bad thing, okay?
Well, if you really want to bark, if you want to just be cynical and bark at the moon.
Like I'm not barking enough?
Steve in New York sent along a story a few minutes ago, and
okay.
I heartily all encourage right. everybody to get their bucket handy. God, let me a bucket. I'm going to throw up.
A bucket of hockey pucks.
And now to spoil dinner in every time zone on the earth. Headline from CNN. Trump says he will award Rush Limbaugh with the Medal of Freedom.
Oh, God.
Everybody who's ever gotten one who has a conscience should pack it up and mail it back. Assuming they're alive. I do not wish to share an award. You know, this would be the message. I refuse to share an award with the likes of a filthy bigot who was a merchant of hate and racism. You know, I remember when Limbaugh gleefully declared that the death of Jerry Garcia, that he was just another dead junkie. He said this, if I recall correctly, at the front end of his own opiate addiction. But the funny thing is, after he got busted for doctor shopping and the American Civil Liberties Union came to his defense, once upon a time, my friends, the communists and the American Civil Liberties Union are trying to destroy this country. He never said another bad word about the ACLU after they saved his lard ass.
Yeah. Well, know, I'll tell you, the thing that really was the ultimate telling moment for me with Rush Limbaugh was back when Bill Clinton was president, and I forget the year, he went on and on for the first half hour of his broadcast, just reaming Bill Clinton a new asshole. And before the first commercial break at the bottom of the hour, he said, putting on that mock sincerity of his, I see by the news that the president's mother has died. And I just want to express my sympathies to the president and his family at this difficult moment. Well, that just kind of tore it for me. That was the ultimate tell you everything you need to know about what a sleazy, slimy, heartless son of a bitch Limbaugh was and is. I mean, I guess I always knew on some level, but that not even on the occasion of Bill Clinton's mother's death could he cut him even 30 minutes of slack. You know, to right. hoot and holler. And it just, I mean, I remember when his grandfather died. Rush Limbaugh, the original granddaddy, grandpappy Limbaugh. I felt bad for him because I feel bad for everybody who loses a cherished loved one. You know?
Yeah.
You know, it's just...
Ron and Raleigh just sent a note. Rear view hell. Today is my birthday. Happy birthday, Ron. Today is my birthday. The Grim Reaper is in the passing lane with his signal on, preparing to pass.
There you go.
Ron adds, there I was out go. Of the room earlier. Did I hear some gimmick infringement? Yes, you did. That's on Billable Rick. I'm sorry. Billable, I won't cover for you, man. I don't fuck around with Ron. He gets real, real fast. Medal of Freedom? Who the hell's coming to that ceremony? Talk about a rogues gallery. Remember last night when I said let the hagiography begin? Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, and by the way, I have been called on the carpet by Darlene, and I need to offer some clarification. I am stunned that you are a fashion snob, Bob. You know, some of us with foot problems and disabilities need the dress shoes with sneaker soles or even the Dr. Scholl's, LOL. Well, doggone it, even as I was saying it, I was thinking, I'm going to get shit for this. When I said they'll stop manufacturing shoes with laces, what I was talking about is that the country will be so goddamn dumbed down after four more years of Trump that we won't know how to tie shoelaces anymore. We won't. I don't care if you're a bunny ears person or if you're a loop swoop and pull person. Me, I'm a loop swoop and pull. It won't matter because we won't have them anymore. It'll be like incandescent light bulbs. You know, goddamn liberals are coming for your... No, only it'll be the Republicans this time. It won't be liberals coming for your incandescent light bulbs. It'll be the goddamn right wing wiping out so many goddamned IQ points that we won't be able to tie shoelaces anymore. You'll notice I say shoelaces because that was drummed into my head by my father, who, when I would say tie my shoes, he said, I want to see you do it.
Yeah.
If you can tie a pair of shoes together, show me there's a job waiting for you in the circus.
Harkening back to shoelaces.
And we have buffered up and gone again. Stand by.
All right.
But I do recognize that there are people who need crepe soles and Velcro instead of shoelaces and slip-ons and things like that. I get that. But when an otherwise unimpeded individual, I don't know. But the thing is, they're damned well comfortable. They just visually to me with a nice suit on a guy, it's like what? Darlene continues and said, "I'm at the point now where I say F you to all that mock the way I walk or below the knee full cast. I was just told that I now need in order to ambulate somewhat. Damn. Please consider that there are other reasons for not being fashion conscious, young man." I do. It's just, and I wasn't talking about anything in particular like that. It was more along the lines of just, we're going to be too stupid to tie shoelaces because that's how stupid America's going to get. And we're getting stupider by the day with every moment that little fucker remains in office. Let me check a couple other. Yep, Frontier got me again. Thank you, Dave. Thank you, Randall. We were gone for 2 minutes this time, and I don't know why this happens. I honestly don't know. It's not a question of bandwidth.
Was there a problem at the end of the program last night? Because I was at the Ralph's and
I think we probably did buffer up a couple of times, but. Sometimes it takes me a couple of minutes, and then the emails come through, and Brother Deacon Hazel lets me know, that kind of thing.
And wasn't it the space program where Velcro really caught on?
Probably so.
The can-do space program, because they needed a way to keep ships
otherwise
afloat.
Otherwise known as hook and loop closures.
Yeah.
Yes, and the actual term that Limbaugh used to describe Jerry Garcia was, another dead doper, my friends.
Do we have a list of the Medal of Freedom recipients? Because you talked yesterday about political mail pieces keeping the post office afloat. Boy, the rush of returned Medals of Freedom ought to bump up their numbers a little bit.
Why, there it is. List of Presidential Medal of Freedom recipients.
See, I can almost wish this stuff into existence.
Ronald Reagan gave it out 102 times. Barack Obama gave it out 123. Lyndon Johnson gave it to John F. Kennedy. Wait, what? The first recipients selected by President John F. Kennedy before his assassination were formally awarded by his successor in office, Lyndon B. Johnson. Let's see. The wiki has it broken out into architecture, art, movies and theater.
What is Limbaugh's category? It can't be bullshitting, partisan bullshitting.
I don't know. Education. They'll, you know,
come on.
Humanitarian? No, media, journalism, radio. Oh. Oh, there it is, radio. Lowell Thomas, 1977. Paul Harvey, the old horse molester, 2005.
Wait a minute. Who's the old horse molester?
Paul Harvey.
Paul Harvey molested horses? Did Angel know? And Paul Jr. for Christ's sake?
No, that goes back. That's a Bart Cop bit. I explained it last night. Paul Harvey said so many rotten, tawdry, and utterly untrue things about Bill Clinton that Bart Cop back in the day declared that Paul Harvey molested horses and dared him to sue him. Because it just goes to prove that if you're an entertainer, you can say anything about anybody.
Yeah. I used to like Paul Harvey. I mean, as far as it went. Hello, Americans, this is Paul Harvey. Stand by for news. God. All right. Well,
I'm just scrolling through all this, trying to find the ones that Nitwit Nero did. Oh, Ed Meese.
Ed Meese?
Yeah, he gave the Medal of Freedom to Ed Meese.
What, for anti-smut?
I guess. Orrin Hatch. Jerry West.
Boy, you don't have to do much or be much to get that medal these days. Jesus. How did W do? I believe
Roger Penske, Mariano Rivera, Jerry West, Bob Cousy, Tiger Woods, Roger Staubach, Babe Ruth. He awarded a posthumous Medal of Freedom to.
Did Babe Ruth try to eat it?
I mean, he's kind of busy being dead, but Elvis, posthumous.
Yeah, there's your doper.
Alan Page, Donald Trump.
Alan Page.
Yeah, went on from being a member of the Purple People Leaders Minnesota Vikings defense to being a Supreme Court Justice in Minnesota.
Okay, I was not familiar.
Posthumously gave it to fat, dead Tony Scalia.
Jeez.
He is given none in the category of journalism.
You can't read.
Well, that's true. Oh, Sheldon Adelson's wife, Miriam, under the philanthropy category.
God.
Oh, he's made a mockery of it.
Well, what hasn't he made a mockery of? I mean, come on. We'll be lucky to have survived his 4 years. You know? Anything beyond that is the antithesis of gravy.
You know what bugs, something that bugs the hell out of me, though, Scott?
What?
When Donald Trump says something, and because I said it before him, I am compelled to agree with him.
Well, that's the blind pig theory. Pardon me, the visually impaired bovine.
Yeah, or the infinite monkeys with infinite typewriters, and one of them's going to...
Yeah.
He's been on a tear against Meghan McCain, our little nutmeg. And according to a book called Sinking in the Swamp, How Trump's Minions and Misfits Poisoned Washington, he's been just losing his shit over Meghan McCain. And he went off on a diatribe asking, so Meghan McCain, she's been getting fatter. How can she be dumber than her father?
God.
But the part that grieves me is the fact that he wondered why anyone would want to hire her. Are you opening the door to the dungeon, Scott? I mean, what?
No, I came out front to give the squirrel some nuts.
Oh, okay. He wondered why anyone would want to hire her. He rambled on and on about how nobody would care about who she was or what she had to say if not for the genetic proximity to Senator McCain. And I hate it when I have to agree with him.
Yeah.
But the fact of the matter is, I said it here first, if her last name was not McCain, our little nut Meg would be mopping floors on the midnight shift at Waffle House.
Yeah. Well, and the whole thing with her.
So
and
stop
Trump,
stop stealing my shtick, asshole.
That whole thing with her, you know, has to do mostly with, you know, he just can't let go of saying nasty things about her daddy.
Oh, and it's Black History Month, of course. So naturally, in Tennessee, a Republican member of the state house, the a fellow by the name of Jerry Sexton, spoke up in defense of Nathan Bedford Forrest for Black History Month. He said, "Now, I ain't a historian, but it's my understanding Nathan Bedford Forrest had maybe over 3,000 blacks at his funeral." Jesus.
I know that name. Hasn't he been in the news in past times, this guy down in Tennessee?
I don't, right off the top of my head, I don't know.
It rings a distant bell. I don't know. At this point, there've been so many outrages over time with the right wingers and the nut buckets.
And of course his Nitwit Nero's Super Bowl commercial backfired because, among other things, it referred to African Americans as the least among us.
God.
Yeah, I know.
Well, this is how old I am. I don't even watch the fucking halftime. What I usually do is record on the DVR at least the first hour, maybe the first 90 minutes of the game. I don't even get caught up in the hoopla over the commercials.
The Bill Murray Jeep commercial, the reboot of Groundhog Day, was good.
Well, see, to me, the true test, and I'm old school about this, I'm a David Ogilvy type when it comes to advertising, or the guy that did all the Bill Birnbach, who did the early Volkswagen ads, poking fun at the car, the size of it, and all that. To me, it's like, how many Jeeps will be driven off the lot as a result of that ad? That is a measurable dynamic or metric. And to me, the fucking ad needs to move shit off the shelves or cars off the lot or whatever it is that they're trying to sell. If all it does is make you smile, a lot of those ads with humor, and God knows I love humorous ads, a lot of those ads with humor, you ask somebody a little later after
Bud, Budweiser and Bud Light back in the 90s and early aughts with their... With the frogs and the Bud Light Real Men of Genius were absolutely hilarious, and not one of them ever made me feel any more kindly about drinking a bottle of Budweiser.
Well, yeah, it's like
I just can't abide it.
The other day with the beer talk, see, now Todd is going to be amazed at this. I have consumed, I think, in my lifetime, a total of 2 beers. One was back in the late 70s. And which is the beer that's in the clear bottle? Is it Miller?
Miller. That's Miller.
I believe it was
Miller. Which is why my father would never drink it.
Really? Because of the clear bottle?
Yeah, because the beer should not be subjected to direct sunlight.
Okay. Well, I had the Miller And then more recently, after we got into the year 2000, 2001, I went to a local restaurant and had a homebrew of a craft brew that had kind of blueberry or some kind of berry flavor to it, which was pretty good, I must admit. But I've just never really been a beer drinker. So
in the 1970s, Taste Great, Less Filling ads for Miller Lite were wonderful, Steve.
Yeah. But most of these humorous
ads.
But the thing about the Bill Murray ad, people don't remember what the product was.
No, there were lots of shots of that Jeep Gladiator in it. And, I mean, it was prominently featured. So you didn't finish up going, wait a minute, what were they advertising? No, it was an ad for Jeep.
Well,
and it showed that thing driving over snowy roads and
the Jeeps of today. God, I'm on a roll here. I actually used to sell Jeeps in the late 80s. It's a very little known fact that once I was a car salesman, I had no credibility.
I'm not in the least surprised.
They're teeny tiny. I remember those fucking. Was it the Grand Wagoneer? Do you remember those?
Oh, yeah. That
fucker was the size of a Hummer.
Yep.
You know? Now you have little teeny tiny baby Jeeps. Wussy Jeeps.
You need to go look at that Gladiator. I mean, if you're somebody like me who lives in a rural area like West Virginia, you just look at that and go,
Does it live up to the name? Does it draw a sword and decapitate someone?
There's no swords. There's no there's no like lace up anything on it like you do with the shin guards and the greaves and stuff and gauntlets.
Do you like gladiator movies, Billy? Yes, I've
never seen a man naked. Yeah, have you ever seen a man naked, Billy? That was a nice segue, Scott. I give you credit for it.
Thank you. Before I free associate again, maybe I ought to just go and let somebody else call.
I free associate again. Yes.
Anyway, the bottom line is here: no more Trump. Don't give Rush Limbaugh anything because he's got enough already. And Iowa, count the fucking votes. That's my summation. So jury, have at it and come back and don't acquit them.
Right.
Because
that's going to happen tomorrow.
Oh, I know.
I still like that idea that Glenn Kirshner put forward, the former U.S. attorney. He said that at some point in time, and I guess it's too late now, that Adam Schiff should look at the Chief Justice and move for a mistrial. Based on the conduct of the defense team,
the fact that they have
sat there and lied, while at least two of them are witnesses in their own cause, the fact that they that the defense team poured millions of dollars into the coffers of Senate Republican campaigns, it's filthy. It's just filthy.
Well, I'm not going to even watch the State of the Union. I've sat through the what is it, two or three previous ones, or is this the third? Yeah, this would be the third. And I'm just not going to subject myself to it. I'm sure there's plenty of stuff on TCM, you know.
Well, like I said, it's kind of my job, so I'll take one for the team.
Oh, I know. And you know. You need to start drinking, Bob. I'm telling you, if you're going to do
it's too dangerous. If I do that, I may not stop. I am fully 3 years into the Trump presidency, and doing what I think is a yeoman job of hanging on to my sanity.
How do you do it, Bob? I mean, I couldn't be in broadcasting today doing topical talk, I mean, politically topical current events. I could no more do that in this day and age than.
Well, what's been so frustrating over the last 3 years is that there are so many stories that get missed because we find ourselves obsessed with the outrage du jour.
Yeah. Well, doesn't the outrage du jour cease to be effective after a while? Doesn't it get to the point where people just become immune to it?
Well, I've gotten to the point where I got really tired of talking about the about the impeachment proceeding, which is a semi-judicial abortion in its own right.
Yeah.
And so it was kind of nice to talk about something besides the impeachment farce yesterday. You've got Rand Paul, who learned nothing from having his ass beaten, stepping on into the well of the Senate and outing the alleged whistleblower. He did that. He read the question that old Balls and Strikes refused to read. And well, then he put up a poster that was an attack on Adam Schiff with the guy's name in print. And the thing is, when Paul was called on it, he said, I think it's very important that we know if there was a concerted government plot to bring the president down by a lot of employees. Well, here's the thing. Nobody knows if that name that he put up there is or is not the whistleblower, so he is unnecessarily endangering the life of someone who may not even be the person that he thinks he hates. Meanwhile, out in Arizona, John in PA wrote into me, sent me a note on Twitter, said, you know, you beat him to the punch again, Bob. Out in Arizona, a guy by the name of Jan Peter Meister, 52 years old, registered sex offender, Trump fan, drank himself a bottle of courage and called and left a voicemail for Adam Schiff's office in which he threatened to kill Adam Schiff. I'm going to fucking blow your brains out, you fucking piece of shit. Ta-da!
Well, I mean,
that's the definition of stochastic terrorism. Trump knew that was going to happen. Trump wants it to happen. He thinks it will make somebody like Adam Schiff back off because Trump thinks that everybody is as big a coward as he is.
They are manifest lunatics, and what ain't lunatics are horrendously irresponsible. They need, God, and I've beat this drum until my arm hurts. The Republicans, what's left, what now presents itself as the Republican Party, needs to be so far removed from the levers of power in this country. We need to renew our efforts in the House and get an even larger majority. We need to retake the Senate. We need to take the fucking White House. And it needs to be on the level and on the degree, the intensity of back when FDR was in office during his years. And I know that there were like more or less unlimited terms back in those days. But, you know, in the wake of FDR and then Truman, even with his faults, good old Harry Truman, it was until Eisenhower, there hadn't been a president for 20 years of the Republican persuasion. Now, granted, there were Republican houses or senates, during that time, but they need to be so far removed as an alleged political party from the levers of power, federally, statewide, countywide, citywide. They don't even deserve to be, you know, in charge of the refuse collection department of a minor city of fucking, where is Buttigieg's Fort Wayne or some such place. The Republicans just chap my ass. And I'm just so sick of them. I am sick of their hypocrisy. I'm sick of their lies. I am sick of them. I'm so sick of them.
Enough to make you hoot like a barn owl.
Yes.
Well, let me go back to the threat against Adam Schiff for a minute, because we missed the really salient parts.
This is a guy in what, Arizona?
Arizona.
Yeah, yeah.
And remember, he said, I'm going to fucking blow your brains out, you fucking piece of shit. Well, here's the thing. When they asked why he made the threat against the life of Adam Schiff, he responded that, well, he watches Fox News. And so there's the vector of Trump's stochastic terrorism. And likely was upset at something that he saw on the news. He stated that he strongly dislikes the Democrats and feels they're to blame for the country's political issues. Where would he have come up with an idea like that? Oh, I don't know, maybe listening to Rush Limbaugh, watching Fox News, etc.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so they, having arrested him, they executed a search of his home. Now remember, the threat was, I'm going to blow your fucking brains out, you fucking piece of shit. Well, there in his home, they found an AR-15 rifle, two pistols, and more than 700 rounds of ammunition. Bear in mind, he's a convicted felon, a sex offender, and he's been charged with being a felon in possession of a firearm. I would not be surprised to find out that Trump's Justice Department pleads that away in exchange for a promise that he'll do it right next time.
Jesus.
But this goes straight to Donnie Dipshit's doorstep. And it is not to be taken lightly. They aim, they want to get their war on.
Yeah, this is the only downside that I see in my scenario coming to pass in terms of House, Senate, and presidency. The wackaloons and the nut jobs and the religious crazies and the whole, I mean, from soup to nuts, A to Z, the whole crew of them have been conditioned for the past 20, 25 years to be outraged at everything. Not a day goes by.
A significant portion of this country, since Reagan and since Limbaugh went on the air in 88, have been conditioned to become a class of professional victims. Everything victimizes the delicate sensibilities of the hardcore right-wing voter, which is the Republican base. There are no more moderates. There are certainly no more liberal Republicans. Oh, fuck no.
Not in a million damn years. And have not been since the early 80s, late 70s, early 80s. And they were kind of squishy back then, the few of them that there were. So, yeah, that is the only downside. You know, there will be hell to pay because they're looking
But I'm not trying to depress anybody. I'm just trying to give the lay of the land as accurately as I can. Get out there and fight. And whomever the nominee is, support that person unless you think the idea of 4 more years of Donald Trump is no big deal.
Well, I heard one.
Fight like your life depends on it. And yeah. I think we can disprove the I think we can put paid or put to rest the Susan Sarandon theory that this is somehow going to usher in that Trump was going to usher in the apocalypse, because no. So you'll just get four more years and four more years of misery and four more years of the sad spectatorship of watching your country fall apart. If the nominee is one of the two people who hopes to be our first 80-year-old president, I'm going to beg people to go out and vote for that man. If the nominee is someone who thinks, God forbid, that the Supreme Court would be better off with more Anthony Kennedys on it, I'm going to beg everyone to vote for that man.
The alternative is untenable. If you think Trump has been unhinged and uninhibited up till now, you ain't seen nothing.
Oh, him with nothing to lose, nothing else to run for?
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's already certifiable.
Again, I got to come back to my previous admonition. No matter how weird yesterday was, today was weirder. And no matter how weird today was, tomorrow will be weirder still. And that means that the level of weird in this country is going to be at levels heretofore unmeasurable to science by November 3rd.
Well, Hunter Thompson read it right X number of years ago. You know,
When the going gets weird, the weird turn pro, or do you mean that the hogs are in the tunnel and will travel on a road of bones?
Well, I was thinking more of, you know, you buy your ticket, you take the ride. Well, I haven't liked the ride thus far. And I'm not inclined to take this ride again. Thank you very much. What, you say my ticket's paid for? Just burn it, because I'm not. Not only do I not want to take the ride.
Yeah, because you know the floorboards of the car are full of vomit and used needles.
Yeah, you know, I don't need. I've got enough entertainment in my life without that. You know, I just, you know, the ride. Yeah,
this reality show really is the suckiest reality show ever.
Yeah.
And it needs to be canceled. And the only people who can cancel it are the American people acting with absolute determination. And you've got to vote in such numbers and in such places that the Electoral College cannot steal it from us again.
Yeah, we've got to be just as serious can be this time around. And what troubles me, what scares the fluorescent piss out of me, Bob, is the other day, and I forget whose supporter it was, and it wasn't Bernie, thank God, I do know that, but one of the supporters of one of the other Democratic candidates said words to the effect that if somebody other than their person is the nominee, they're going to sit this one out. And my blood ran cold.
Oh, I know, and I haven't mentioned it because there's not any value in discussing it, but someone that I respect, Rashida Tlaib, with her come on, let's all boo Hillary thing the other day, all the unnecessary horse shit out there.
And there's plenty of it.
And even though, because I heard Michael Moore the next day defending her, saying, well, you know, that's because Hillary said such shitty things about Bernie, fair is fair, you know. Blah, blah, blah. That ain't necessarily how you fight that fight.
But what the fuck is she chiming in about at this juncture of the narrative anyway? I don't see her name on any ballot this time around.
Yeah, Hillary's...
Go and enjoy your fucking grandkids and your pension, for Christ's sake.
Well, I still say that there's an outside chance that somebody's whispering into her ears, Hills, you're going to be younger this time than Bernie was the last time. You got this. Third time's the charm. We can get you in at a brokered convention because nobody's going to agree on any of the other candidates. Now's your moment.
But this, I mean,
you can't tell me there's not a 1 in 100 chance that that's actually happening. I don't mean that she'll get into the race, but that there are people begging her to get into the race.
And she brings with her this goddamned narrative of nobody likes Bernie, and he never got anything done. How is that helping anything? It tries my patience.
Right, and that's what I'm saying. Neither what Hillary said nor what Rashida Tlaib said helped.
Yeah. It's like, for crying out loud, go help somebody else. We're up to here with help. We got plenty of help.
Yeah.
It's a ride I don't want to take.
I think we've had about all the helping we can stand.
It's a ride I don't want to take. 4 more years of Trump. And that kind of help I don't need.
Well, I've got somebody on the other line, so let me run over to them so that we get a couple more voices in here.
All right, Bob.
All right. You take care. Good talking to you, Scott.
As always, and take care, and for crying out loud, Horn family,
Hunter Biden.
That would gonna hang that on me forever, Bob. I know how you are.
Fuck you, it's stuck in my mind.
Well, I have served my purpose. Take care, man, and I'll go try to cheer up now.
All right, later, Scott.
I'll see ya.
And as David in South Carolina Stan points out, somebody took that Hillary comment out of a film to be released March 6th on Hulu. Why was that taken out and released at this time? And it was done in the Hollywood Reporter. Exactly. It was not news. It was somehow or another that was made to be a thing. And that's not me channeling my inner paranoid. And Hillary surrogates, Shorty in L.A. points out, are tied to the Iowa suck-ass app that fucked everything up last night. You'd think that we could figure out how to do an election with pencils and papers. Or, pens, even. Because, pencils can be, marks can be erased. No erasing. There was a bunch of buy-in from the candidates to have this app because somebody said, "Oh, this app's going to be the bee's knees. Can't run in Iowa without our app. Here, pay us money," and they'll laugh all the way to the bank, even though the goddamn thing was a disaster. It should be a lesson. It would be a lesson, if we were smart enough. All right, let's see who's on the stress line. Hey, welcome to the program. Hello. Yes.
How you doing, Bob? This is Kurt up here in the Grand Forks, North Dakota state.
Yeah, what's happening, Kurt?
Yeah. I thought your conversation there with Scott was very interesting. I only have a question here. I'm getting an echo on the line here, so it's kind of throwing me off here a little bit.
Yeah, you're good on this end, so go right ahead.
Oh, okay. Well, maybe it's through my Verizon phone here too. I don't know, but I'm hearing an echo and it's kind of distracting. But anyway, I was just going to ask you: Do you think, Bob? Do you think we'll ever have, or do you think that we'll ever reach a level if we get another 4 years of this stupid clown, that will start to have like a little bit of instability. You know, you were talking about the guy, you know, down there in Arizona. And like you, Bob, I live in a, you know, in a red state here. And there's so many loonies here, too, that, you know, do you think we'll ever get to that point? If it gets to be a little bit of instability.
Get to it, Kurt. We're already there. Look at the number of school shootings we have. Those are manifestations of instability.
Well,
those aren't just random acts of violence. I could run a racist clip every day that I'm on the air with this program because it has become damn near pandemic in this country.
Oh, definitely. You know, when I go to Target here, we have a Target superstore here in Grand Forks. And I talk to a lot of Canadians that come down here. You know, they come down here to shop, and they always, you know, like when I'm talking with them, you know, they are watching what's going on down here, and they're, you know, they just, you know, they just kind of look at this country now, and they say, "What the hell is going on down here?" You know, and you know, I told them, I said, "Well, it's." I told him this country is having a nervous breakdown. It's everything is, you know, everything is opposite. Up is down, down is up. It's just, you know, people have become so polarized now that, you know, you hate to even say anything to anybody in this crazy,
well,
crazy
places like where, places like where you are and where I am, opening your mouth can be dangerous.
Oh yes. Yes, most definitely.
But you have to understand there's a substantial plurality of Trump supporters who want to get, you know, the white supremacists, the neo-Nazis, etc., who want, you know, they've got a word for it. We've talked about it here. They call it the Boogaloo. And that's the great race war.
The Boogaloo, right.
That they yearn for.
Right. Yeah, that's
and
for
so,
sure.
And so, you know, four more years of Trump will just encourage that. And Stephen, you know, Stephen Miller isn't going anywhere.
Right.
Except further entrenching himself into power. The stakes have never been higher. And it used to be that we would say that with every presidential election, Kurt. Well, this and it turned out that the next election, the stakes were higher still. Well, these are the highest stakes we've ever faced.
Right.
I would say these are higher stakes than the stakes that Lincoln faced in 1864.
Right. I agree with you. Yes.
FDR was dying when he was running for his fourth term.
Right.
The stakes are higher now than they were when he was running for his fourth term. The stakes are higher now than they were when FDR was running for his fourth term. The stakes are higher now than when FDR was running for his first term. This is a country that is looking that is staring into the abyss, and the abyss is staring back.
Oh, most definitely. And like you said earlier in the program, I usually listen to your program on you know, on the podcast, but I happen to catch you here now live here today, and I, you know, like you said earlier, you said this country's done, and it is done.
We might have one fighting chance.
It's over.
We might have one fighting chance, but if a Democrat does not enter the Oval Office with majorities in both houses on January the 20th, 2021, I don't see how we get well from that.
No, right. Well, not only that, but, you know, I'm also, you know, I don't have as much faith in the American people anymore either. You know, there's no more shame anymore. People don't care about you know, about what's going on. They're,
well,
you know,
yeah,
they're
but we got to be careful.
Too,
we got to be
occupied.
We got to be careful with that stuff, with that kind of talk, though, Kurt, because that's what Franklin Graham was. Oh, this country has no more sense of shame. They're letting hussies like Beyonce and that shaky Ray girl shake their stuff, and our little girls are watching it, and
yeah,
now they want to be prostitutes like they are. No.
Well, yes. No, I understand that, but I'm not saying at that point, but I'm talking about people that don't want to see the reality of what the hell is going on with, you know, with what's going on in this country. It's like they're all blinded. You know, it's like going to Tiny Tim's Christmas party and finding out he's like a kickboxer. I don't know, but it just seems like everything has got so, you know, like people don't want to see reality.
And maybe in the case of the maggots, maybe it's because their realities are so godforsaken awful.
Right. Yeah, that's right. Well, that's another thing. You know, the people that I once knew, or that I knew, you know, that I should say, and it's like they all had this, they all had this conversion, you know, something going on in their heads. And it's like, I don't even want to even be around some of these people anymore. You know, it sort of reminds me of that old science fiction or that old, that old 19, I think it was like 55, the invasion of the body snatchers. I feel like I'm living with pot people, Bob, you know.
Only because you are.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
It's the reality.
And it just makes you wonder.
Well, I'm trying to find Franklin Graham's actual remarks because, I mean, J-Lo, I said Beyonce this time. Thank you, Clarity. Thank you. No, it's not the same guy with the pool boy. That's Jerry Falwell Jr., dear. Yeah, J-Lo and Shakira. But they, you know, wingnut preachers shitting themselves over the moral decline of the country is that's an old, tiresome, trope.
Right. Yeah.
Because it's supposed to drag people into the pews.
Right, yeah. No, I remember hearing that too, like back in the day when all these televangelists were on and all this stuff.
What's
his name that wrote the... Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, okay, so here's the Franklin Graham quote. I don't expect the world to act like the church, but our country has had a sense of moral decency on primetime TV in order to protect children. We see that disappearing before our eyes. It was demonstrated in tonight's halftime show with millions of kids watching. This exhibition was Pepsi showing young girls that sexual exploitation of women is okay. With the exploitation of women on the rise worldwide, instead of lowering the standard, we as a society should be raising it. I'm disappointed in Pepsi and the NFL.
Meanwhile, he still hasn't said a goddamn word about children in cages.
No, right. And they're also racking up a lot of cash. I mean, it's a great hustle.
Yeah.
So I've screwed up J-Lo, Beyonce, J-Lo, Shakira, and I would have been fine if I hadn't seen that quote. I would have been fine if I hadn't seen that goddamn quote from Tommy Lauren saying, and Beyonce and Jay-Z, they sat down for the national anthem because they don't love America, and he used to sell crack. Oh, God. I got to get out of here, Kurt, before I have a connection.
Okay, Bob. Well, it was nice talking with you.
All right. Good talking to you, Kurt. You take care and stay warm, brother.
Oh, you bet. You bet. You bet. I sure will. We're at a balmy 5 degrees here tonight here, Bob. So, and we're supposed to get below zero here later on. So
We got nasty coming at us midweek. That's probably what you're getting now. We'll talk soon, Kurt. Later.
Yeah. Yes, it is. It's heading your way there, Bob, but we'll talk again sometime.
All right. Bye now. That's our buddy Kurt out in North Dakota. Lady B, race war? And then what? Blacks work for free? LeBron James plays in chains? No more rap music? What about all the mixed race folks? Do they move up to House Negro status? When fantasy exceeds reality, how exactly is this going to work? And what makes white supremacists think folks here and around the world would accept that? Well, they'll do it at the muzzle of a gun. They don't necessarily want people to accept it. They want to be able to kill the people who say they won't. They're homicidal maniacs. They're psychopaths. They're nasty bastards. We won't have any sports left except ice hockey and NASCAR. Eesh. Subject line, losing my mind. David in South Carolina, Stan says, I may be losing my mind. However, I had a random thought that Bloomberg might be the move. I could be crazy. If he shows himself able to troll the fuck out of Donald Trump and make it stick and make it sting and, you know, hit him again, Mike, and put a little stank on it. I know. Like I said, if the question, you know, I'm not asking you the question between if Bernie. Let's take Bernie out of the equation for a moment. If the choice is Joe Biden or Mike Bloomberg, who do you choose? Hint, if it ain't Bernie, I ain't voting, is not an answer. That's just more Trump. And I'm not endorsing any candidates. I like Bernie. I like Elizabeth Warren. I want to see people be able to go to the doctor when they're sick. I want to see people who have to deal with a cancer diagnosis in the Appalachian Sacrifice Zone be able to get every bit as good a treatment for their cancer as Rush Limbaugh is going to have for his. It's a hell of a question, isn't it? So this evening was kind of a goose egg. No, it wasn't kind of a goose egg. It was a goose egg. We came into it with $195 to raise, and we've still got $195 to raise. But thanks to all of you who keep the program on the air. Thank you, each and every one. Thanks to, you know, whether it's by as a subscriber or as an a la carte contributor or both. Thanks to each and every one of you who share your precious finite time engaging in the program, however you so choose to do. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thanks to Sparky in the chat room. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, HeadOn.live. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest-working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. 20 years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Later, y'all.